I appreciate the testimony. Some stood out to me, and I just want to say thank you. Miss Vanessa, thank you too. Last Sunday, Minister Tammy spoke, and I got a lot out of that. I wish she was here today. I don't see her, but good. She deserves it. She mentioned how on her new job she gives out the care and she shows people the love of Christ. And I identify with that because my routine, and I, you know, some of us have a routine, but my routine is to, you know, go to work and talk to people, and I'm just looking to love somebody or be shown some love, either way. And if we can both make that work at the same time, that's great. But that's my routine. And then, you know, I come home and maybe pick up the kids or talk to them or, you know, just that's my life. I just like to, one of the reasons I get up in the morning is to just show somebody some love and to show them something that maybe they may have never seen. Amen. The thing that kind of got me, this is a few weeks ago, and I haven't really shared it with very many people, and you'll see why I said I appreciate your testimonies. I haven't really shared this with many people, and I'm about to tell my oldest son, Eric, a secret. Some of the advice that I give him is that, and we talk, you know, and this was on one of his first jobs. And I was very, very proud of him having his first job. In fact, when the first time I went up there and I saw him in his uniform and he was working, like I just couldn't hold it. I started crying. and I know he works really hard. And he had kind of came into like a little bit of a riff from management. And, you know, that made me hot. When I found out what had happened, I got hot. So much so that once I found out, once he told me, I made a beeline to his job with him. And he's like, Dad, I don't know what you're going to do, but it's okay. It's straight. Like, I don't know, you know, it's not a big deal. And I was just like, nah, it is a big deal. So I go there, and I said, I'm not going to do anything to get you fired. You know, don't want to scare you, but I just want to put eyes on this particular manager that has done this stuff, or this particular coworker. I just want to see him and maybe have a chat face to face. And I told Eric, I said, look, man, when you run into these types of situations, I said, don't lose your job. That's all I would say is, like, let it go, because the next day you're going to come back to work. Like, just let them cut the check. Like, give me my money. I'm not there to be your friend. I'd like to, but whatever. Just give me my money, and so I can go home. I'll be back tomorrow for more money. And that's it. You don't owe me anything but a check. And that's the advice I gave you, but I got a secret for you. A few weeks ago, and like I told you, I got a routine. I go to work, and everybody, some people show you love right away. They embrace you right away. I've been there for about, it'll be 5 years in March, and there's just one or two around there that it just ain't there, you know, and it will be. Like you said, you know, you pray for people and, you know, whatever. Uncle always says, hey, if they treat you bad, they just having a bad day. Let it go and get your money. Well, I didn't mention this to but just a handful of people. And I go to work. I'm in my routine. I'm trying to be helpful. I'm doing things outside of my job description just to try to be helpful. That's part of showing love. I'm going to help you. Even if I didn't plan to, if you need me, I'll do my best to help you. That's what love does. And I've been doing this for 5 years. I'm good at my job because I care. I'm not perfect. I make mistakes, but I care about it. That's a difference. So my boss had called me in and he said, you know, I'd made a mistake, a legit mistake. Something pretty significant, but still it's fixable. It's correctable. So he mentioned the mistake, which rightfully so, I owned it, you know. Then he began to say some things about me that I had no idea he was thinking. And they weren't very pleasant. My character was attacked. And this came, I was totally shocked. It's almost like, you know, if say you're walking and you accidentally drop your purse. It's like, man, you know, that's a nice purse. You can't be just, you know, being careless with it. You know what I mean? You got to hold on to that thing. And then you like, okay, like, my bad. Then I'm like, you know what? In fact, you don't take care of anything you get. Just trifling with yours. I mean, and that's how it hit me. And I was like, whoa, where is this coming from? The secret is I almost lost my job. It took every bit of something in here that I didn't even know I had. And when he said that, I was like, I just kind of cocked my head and like, I bit my lip. And all I said was, okay. Okay. But it wasn't okay, though. You know, it's one thing to say it. I did good in the moment, but when I got up and went back to my desk, I was not okay. And I was contemplating asking for another assignment in a different location under different management. The title today is Overdrive. What's under the hood? You know, I spent maybe 2 days hot, angry after that had happened. And when I got home, the only way I knew how to halfway deal, I didn't even get home. I think I got in a car. I needed to get away from there. Before I told anybody, before I called Kat, before I called Jamie, before I talked to my dad, I was like, God, what happened? How did this happen? Why did this happen? Why did he say this stuff about me? That was the only place I could go to get just to start feeling like myself again. And God was like, you know, And God listened to me, you know, and he said, but Eric, think about it. My name was slandered. I had all manner of false accusations raised against me. I've been spit on, and you didn't even get spit on. Then I really would have lost my job. At least I think so. And in that moment, it was just like, okay, I'm halfway there. I'm halfway there. I'm gonna be honest with you. I still was hurt. You know, I'm still a little 50-50. I was running hot still. But I couldn't deny what God was saying. Like, I had to embrace it, but I wasn't all the way there yet. So I went home and slept on it, and I did start sharing it with a few people to get it, all of it off my chest. But you know, when I got up the next day, first thing in the morning, God put it on my heart to pray for my boss that had just said these things the day before. And I didn't get a total release from that anger and that hurt until I prayed for it. I prayed for him. I prayed for his family, because obviously, when you snap like that, you probably got some things going on. And I just started crying. And I knew the next day I went to work, I was good. Amen. I'm back. I remember Dad told me, he said, and this was many years ago, he had gotten, this was back when you had the 84 Corvette, and you liked it. And he would always, you know, just kind of cruise around town. You know, I'd be in the passenger seat, he'd go here and there. And he would never, I think we even a couple of occasions, you know, people will see you at the light, they know you got a sports car, and they want to try you. And we never, to my knowledge, as far as my memory serves me, we just let them go ahead on and look silly. They, you know, the light turned green, and we just chilling. And he said something very important. He said, you know, I don't need to hit it right now. I don't need to mash the gas right now. Like, for what? I already know I could. He said, I could dust them off if I felt like it. But I don't. I don't have a need to do that. He ain't got nothing over there. And we just roll on. But he said, when I like this car, I like the power. He said, but I like it when I need it. It's there when I need it. When you go through that stuff and people treat you any kind of way, whether it be abuse, because I'm going to tell you, you have a schedule, whether you know it or not. It may be a weird schedule, but you're on some kind of a schedule. But when something happens to totally take you off of that schedule and out of your routine and how you're used to being treated, when something happens to you, will you have the power when you need it? Jesus, come on. And when you're at a car show, all of the cars look great on the outside. It's a car show. But these people at these car shows, they are not amateurs. A lot of them are not new to this. Like, that's what they do. And so they'll get out of theirs and they'll come and take a look at yours. And if you don't already have the hood pop, you're going to get the question. Like, hey, man, well, it's clean, man. You fixed that up real nice. What's under the hood? You pop the hood? They want to know what's there, because this all show and no go, that's not going to cut it. That's not going to cut it. And I'm not against, and it bothers me. And I need to do better. I am doing better. But when I see the T-shirts, and y'all know I've said this before, I hate these catchphrases that catch on, and then everybody's saying it. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm blessed and highly favored. And it's just something thrown around to be cute. But if you're going to wear the shirt, make sure you got something under the hood to prove it. Come on, man. You know? Because one day, if not already, y'all have gone through a lot. But guess what? Some other stuff is coming. And you're going to need every one of those horses under your hood to get through it. I realized quickly 3 weeks ago that the way I was going about life, it worked until that point, until it didn't. One other thing God was saying, he said, man, Eric, you got to level up, because what you were doing up until this point, You're gonna have to step it up. It's not gonna keep working. This routine and going to work and loving on people and that's it, and I come home. Nah, every day isn't gonna go that way. But in order to handle it, you're gonna have to level up. Your routine may include, you know, I have my morning devotion, I read my daily bread, or I read at night. And guess what? That might work for you until it doesn't. Amen. You know, I'm very thankful to God that football season is upon us. And just briefly, I'm not going, because everybody don't like football, so I'm not going to talk you to death about football. That ain't why I'm here. But quarterbacks back in the day would just stand in the pocket. Most of them stand in a pocket, and they draw up a play, and the quarterback's job is to make whatever play was drawn up. Now, if a quarterback is good in the pocket, and he can make plays, he may or may not be successful. Now, the terminology is changing, the position is changing. Now, when they grade these quarterbacks, they come out of college and they have this checklist of things that they can do. Good arm. But now on the checklist, and it used to not be, is he mobile? We've seen him make the plays that were there, the plays that developed and worked out, but what can he do off script? What happens when the play that we set up, you drop back, and the guy that you're supposed to throw it to by the play is double covered, and the whole play breaks down? So what are you going to do off script when the play breaks down? You got to get creative. You got to do something. You got to innovate. You got to do something that just off the cuff, out of your head, using your mobility, your vision, whatever you can do. You may have to run and throw across your body, which never used to be okay. Now it is, as long as you make the play. But God said some things. If you've noticed in Scripture, especially when you talk about, when you think back to like when Christ knew that he was about to be crucified. And God, if you know, God doesn't reveal everything to you at once, but he does drop these little hints about what is to come. And you have a choice to do it or not. And then so he knows that he's about to be crucified. And so it's a tense moment. It's intense. And Christ is having a hard time with this. And he told the disciples to watch and pray. Okay. You know, we don't necessarily see a reason, or we don't have a sense of urgency to do this, but okay. We'll store that one back here. Just, you know, maybe we'll need that one day. Well, they needed that advice quicker than they expected, because once they started getting accused and asking if they were with them, whatever. Mm-hmm. See, they couldn't switch to another gear. They didn't have an overdrive. Yeah, they had healed some people. They did. They had cast out some devils, but they were now face to face with something that wasn't in the schedule. And they needed to make a play off script. Like, no, the whole, hey, let's wake up. Hey, Jesus, where are we going today? Hey, are we going to go heal somebody? Hey, what about that town that we were at yesterday? Are we going back there? They loved us. But now this is way off script. And then when they didn't watch and pray, they didn't have. See, you can't pull anything out of you that you didn't put in there. And Jesus was like, watch and pray. Why? You have to put some stuff in there because you're about to need it. You're going to need all of it. And then when the rubber met the road, they didn't have enough under the hood. They couldn't, they couldn't get there. He said, they said Peter and James, when they were casting out demons, some other people had caught on and had a little power, casting out some demons. He said, well, hold on. Peter and James, I know. Who are you? Pop the hood. Who are you? That didn't end so well. The demons won. If you didn't know, the demons won that one. It's a good story. Check it out. Jesus said, hold up. This kind cometh not out except from prayer and fasting. I got enough under the hood. Y'all fall back. I got this. Y'all ain't got the horsepower for this. I do. I've been fasting. I've been praying. I've been watching. I would say that, and again, from the testimonies, I was inspired because you were, though it was difficult, the changes, you were able through Christ to switch to a new gear. I would encourage, I'm not saying, you know, switch up your routine. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that there's more. I'm just saying that maybe what's been working, maybe it's time to kick it up a notch. Amen. Because as far as I've read, I didn't read that necessarily in these times that things would get easier. I did read that they would get worse. And I think that that has rang true. If you turn on the news, you'll see that things are definitely not trending upward. They're not. They will eventually, but not right now. But when things, if you know, and if you believe what the word says about these end times, if you believe what God is saying in all of these messages, things are not going to get easier. But if things get harder, one or two things has to happen. If I put you in a tank and you're 6 feet tall and I put 6 feet of water in there, something's got to happen. Either you're going to drown or you're going to go up a level. And when things don't get easier, they get harder, you got to get better. You got to get stronger. And the things that we are going through are preparing us for that very moment. One of the scriptures, I just read it, it talks about comforting people. And see, I always thought, I read the scripture, you know, cast all your cares on the Lord because he cares for you. That's good for me. That's good for you. But what does that really say about us, though? That sounds very individualistic to me. Like, that just applies to me. I guess some of the scriptures just apply to just us as individuals. But I read a scripture the other day. It talks about how God comforts us in all things. But do you know why? In this scripture, it's not because he cares about me. It says he comforts us in all things so you can be able to extend that same comfort to others. You know, and who would have thought that God would allow me to cry and comfort me and, you know, allow me to embrace the peace that he has and the joy all and then be like, yeah, go give that out. You know, why are you giving me money just so I can go give it away? But that's how it works. On these new levels in overdrive, it's about not just you, it's about other people. Because God has you, but it's about other people. So every time I, whether if I have five different issues and I go to God, no, 10, I can't count. If I have 10 different issues and I go to God 10 times and they're all different and he comforts me in every one, 10 different things, guess what? I got 10 new tools in my toolbox because God comforted me, my finances, my family, my children, my school, my work, and all of these things. So when you come to me and you're like, man, I'm struggling at work. Well, guess what? Let me tell you what happened 3 weeks ago. Oh, Eric, man, my boss lashed out on me. Oh, okay, hey, let's talk about it. I can do that. You know what I did? And every time, it's not just for me. When I'm going through this stuff, it's not just for you. Somebody needs to hear that. You're not going to be the only one in a relationship that hasn't been favorable. There's plenty of people that they need to hear that. I needed to hear that. There's people, their worlds are being flipped upside down. And they didn't hear what you said. They need to. Keep growing. Keep reading. Keep embracing who you are. Last 2 weeks ago, embracing your divinity. Who are you in Christ? What does he say about you? Because you will need to know. And I think now, even more than ever, we desperately cannot lose sight of who we are. We'll end there. I think, yeah, that's it. That's it. Yeah, I'm done. Offering? Oh, invitation. Oh, okay. If there's anyone here that stands in need of prayer of any sort, or if there's no need for prayers, also now is the time that if this body of believers you're choosing to join, if you feel compelled to do so and become a member, this is a time to do that as well.